any part of it again, or any of our previous shows, or recommend this to your friends by going to kboo.fm/Old Mo Variety Hour. Today's show should be up later by sometime tomorrow, maybe even today. Join us again next week for more news, views, and interviews from the Mole's Underground Perspective. I'm Bill Resnick. Patricia Kullberg was our engineer.
This is Rita Christie, host of the Noontime Jamboree on the first and third Monday of each month. Please join me for vintage jazz, country, and western swing. That's on the Noontime Jamboree, the first and third Mondays from noon until 2 p.m. right here on KBOO.
Today is Monday, March 30th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is Robert McCaw, Government Affairs Manager with the Council on American Islamic Affairs. Well, to no one's great surprise, in the great state of Arkansas, the legislature today, the Senate Judiciary Committee will hold a vote on whether or not to send anti-foreign law House Bill 1474 to the Senate floor for a final vote. We're going to be speaking today with Robert McCaw about this and why this is a bellwether for sentiment in the United States, which is born out of ignorance. That in just a few minutes. Well, Earth Hour took place this past weekend. World landmarks went dark to raise awareness on climate change. Following the warmest year on record, cities around the world went dark on Saturday in observance of Earth Hour. And a World Wildlife Fund initiative meant to raise awareness for climate change. This year, over 172 countries joined in. So, On that note, let's take a look at what's been happening right here in Cascadia. This just came in this morning. This just literally hit the airwaves. This morning, Cascadia forest defenders dropped a banner from the Highway 97 overpass above Greenwood Avenue in Bend, Oregon. The banner read, "Entering Deschutes National Forest, where recreation and clear cuts abound." The banner draws attention to the Forest Service's environmentally catastrophic forest management practices in the Deschutes National Forest. When the forest makes news, the discussion usually focuses on recreation, fire management, and so-called, what they call, restoration. Restoration, all that, forest management, restoration, these are all euphemisms for tree farms, by the way, which, of course, destroy our aquifers, tear up the hillsides, and poison earth and air and water, because a tree farm, forest managers themselves, tree farms require a great deal of management in the form of chemicals. That said, the Deschutes National Forest is still clear-cutting huge swaths of land, logging old-growth trees, systematically eradicating northern spotted owl habitat, and spraying herbicides near sensitive wetlands. For many years, community members nearby in the Deschutes have brought up these issues. but the Forest Service and public officials have blatantly ignored their concerns, which leaves people wondering when the Forest Service will own up to their own actions and stop the destructive practices, especially now that we're coming up on the summer travel season, when many people make their way to Oregon. They're expecting to see green forests, and what they're going to be seeing is clear cuts. Hopefully they'll be seeing a lot more banners of this sort. We're going to be speaking in just a minute with Robert McCall. What is going on, of course, in Arkansas clears the way for other states to come up with other similar terrifying legislation. It seems that as the U.S. becomes more and more embroiled in sticky quagmires overseas, either honestly or dishonestly, by which I mean whether they tell us exactly what they're up to or not. In any case, Obama has authorization to do basically whatever he likes. Meanwhile, back in the United States, states like Arkansas are considering legislation that is obviously and clearly designed as an attack on American Muslims. Today in the legislature, as we said, they're holding this vote. The bill's sponsor is Representative Brad Smith. What Smith claims is that this legislation, and this is a quote, it would prevent Sharia courts from being established in Arkansas. That's what this guy says. Sharia courts. Well, in many ways, evangelicals already have Sharia law because of the way women are treated. And we have so many other ways of thinking. It's all out there. No one needs to believe this stuff. In just a moment, Robert will be joining us where we talk more about this. House Bill 1474 is based on a template, actually, authored by anti-Islam extremist David Yerushalmi. He's the head of the hate group Society for Americans for National Existence, which once offered a policy proposal that would make adherence to Islam punishable by 20 years in prison. Yeah, that's right. Freedom of religion. That's what you get. So while we wait for Robert, just a couple of notes. Let's review this again, because whatever you think you know about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the worst part of the deal by far is the Investor-State Dispute Settlement, otherwise known as ISDS. ISDS allows multinational corporations to challenge laws passed by our government, things like environmental or safety regulations, things like worker protection, we have so few social safety nets anymore, but those would be gone also. These are secret courts, and what they say is absolutely inviolable. It is not subject to any sort of amendment after the fact. Think about it a little bit. But right now, the most important thing to think about is what's going on in Arkansas today, because this is a bellwether state. However dreadful social policies are in Arkansas, they do, in fact, open the floodgates for other states to consider similar legislation. And believe me when I say other states have. I want to welcome our guest today, Robert McCoy. He's the Government Affairs Manager with the Council on American Islamic Affairs. We're very delighted to welcome him back to the show. Good morning, Robert.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for having me.
We're delighted to welcome you again, because we're delighted, but also it saddens me that it's necessary to confront these sorts of travesties using the courts to pass hate legislation. Then these guys are constantly thumping around on the Constitution and all that, freedom of religion and so forth. But at the same time, they're passing this kind of legislation. It's hate mongering, basically, isn't it? I mean, talk a little bit. Would you bring our listeners up to speed on what's happening in Arkansas?
Sure. So let me talk about the bill in Arkansas and just provide a little bit of background on this whole trend or wave of anti-foreign, anti-Muslim bills. So right now, today, in the Arkansas legislature, in the Senate, they're considering a bill called American Laws for American Courts. Sounds nice, but it's totally discriminatory. And it has its basis in the anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant movement. So if this bill already having passed the House, it's in the Senate, and it's just two votes away from going to the governor. So for the past 5 years, CARES witnessed this trend of state-level support for legislation known as anti-foreign law, or as this is called, the American Laws for American Courts. Previously, supporters of anti-foreign laws, they sought to make just straightforwardly the religious practices of Islam illegal. However, after Oklahoma's 2010 anti-Sharia constitutional amendment was struck down in federal court for violating the U.S. Constitution, these anti-Muslim activists, they started to support the introduction of anti-foreign law bills. Now, these bills are facially neutral. They do not mention Islam or any other religion. They just say that American laws are only to be considered by courts, and that the American law, the U.S. Constitution, is the supreme law of the land. And we say, duh, yes, of course the Constitution overrides any other law that a court could consider, whether it's foreign, state, or otherwise. But supporters of, like I'm saying, supporters of these laws, they fail to acknowledge that American courts already require and adhere to American law, and anti-foreign law legislation, it infringes on the constitutional protected rights for Muslims to choose Islamic marriage contracts or implement wills or to be buried according to, you know, their religious beliefs. But it just doesn't actually affect what you would perceive as foreign law or Sharia, but it would actually affect the consideration of Catholic canon law and Jewish halakha, because they're both considered by many courts to be a foreign law. So while the bill is neutral, you know, the sponsor of this bill, Representative Smith, he said that this law would prevent Sharia in the courts from being established in Arkansas. Sharia is really not being debated in any court. Sometimes it's in private arbitration courts, but I fail to see how 1% of the population being Muslim or 2% being Jewish, either way, how, you know, our religious laws or traditions are somehow going to be, you know, overthrowing American courts. It really comes from an anti-immigrant basis. And when you look at legislation already passed, we're talking about Arkansas, but, you know, to its left, Oklahoma has already adopted one of these bills. Beneath it, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama have all passed, and Tennessee. And so, really, it's south of the Mason-Dixon line we see a lot of these bills being introduced and passed, with the exception for, you know, Nebraska or Kansas. And, you know, while they've been introduced in a number of other states, we see this, you know, southern border anti-immigrant legislation being introduced. And just to that end, I'd also say in Tennessee, they're considering a no-go zone bill in case, you know, Muslims or other communities start cordoning off districts. You know, the state attorney general can, of course, work with the Department of Justice to make sure that doesn't happen. And it's lunacy.
Why do they? I mean, I was going to say, but well, yes, if we're going to outlaw Sharia law, then we have to outlaw Christian law too, and that would mean outlawing the Crusades. And I was like, wait a minute, we are doing the Crusades. We are slamming into the Middle East, guns are blazing. But I wanted to ask you that again. This catchphrase, "American laws for American courts," sounds more like an advertising jingle, because because, of course, you could sell it to Americans if you make it sound like a new kind of chips or hot dogs or something. And the other thing, too, that you mentioned is this, the maybe neutral, but it's selective. All of this stuff is highly selective. There are certain, there are immigrants from other countries who the government seems to be bending over backwards to make it easier to come to the United States. And yet, we have, in the case of Muslims, it's almost impossible anyway to immigrate once you get here. The this Sharia, this, do people who pass these these types of laws or attempt to pass them have any idea what Sharia law even is, and how it is part of a more of a cultural artifact and something that governs people's personal lives?
We've got
30 seconds. I'm sorry to say that. So I guess on this note we're going to wrap up. So if you want to just leave us with some thoughts, with a brief thought on that.
I would just say that a number of sponsors of these bills do not have a complete understanding of Islam, and that they are using these bills to fearmonger, and that any time we say it's the same old hate, it's just a new target. And so we're here fighting for our constitutional rights. So down the road, the next community which suffers from, you know, the same type of anti-immigrant hate, that, you know, their rights are being protected.
Thanks so much for that. My guest has been Robert McCall, Government Affairs Manager with the Council on American Islamic Affairs. This has been Air Cascadia for Monday, March 30th, 2015. Kate Welch engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. Locus Focus coming right up.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the 4th annual Umbrella Festival of Circus and Comedy, April 2nd to April 5th at the Alberta Rose Theatre. 4 nights of entertainment, including outsider music legend Artist the Spoon Man, 9 traveling circus troupes, acrobats and aerialists, clowns and cabaret, bands and burlesque, drag and daring do, and more.